والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, as we all know, the difficult times, the trials, tribulations and problems that the Muslim Ummah is going through, whether it be a young child, whether it be a teenager, whether it be an elderly person, but in this world, most definitely, we all do go through difficulties in life. Whether it be in our businesses, whether it be in our own personal lives, but definitely, we do go through difficulties in life. This is dunya, this is the place where we will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to see how much of shukr and sabr we make. This is not jannat, where whatever we desire for, how we desire it and what we desire, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. But this is dunya, the world, where if we go through good conditions, favorable conditions, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we go through difficult conditions, we make sabr and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And most importantly, we look at the cause of that calamity and difficulty that has come upon us. If a person is a pious person, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah, we return to Allah, and everything has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. And he is patient, that is a means of elevating his status in hereafter. In the hadith is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمْ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حُزْنٍ حتى شوكتي يشاكها إلا كفر الله بها من خطاياه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Whatever difficulties come upon a Muslim, whether it be tiredness, whether it be a mere worry, some grief, some form of problems, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala atones and wipes off his sins through that, to the extent that just a thorn that pricks him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that to wipe off whatever sins that person has committed in his world. That is the after effect. But let us look at the root cause. What is the cause of these calamities and problems coming upon us in our lives? Whether it be internationally, nationally, personally, is nothing else but our own actions. As we have heard many, many times, أَعْمَالُكُمْ عُمَّالُكُمْ, in accordance to your actions, that is how your rulers will be placed upon you. That is how the situation will be in front of your eyes. That is how you'll be made to live your life, in accordance to your actions. Test will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala side. But are we prepared for that sabr or not? In hadith is mentioned, strange is the condition of a mu'min, a believer. And only a believer can do this. If good conditions come upon him, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever has come. If unfavorable conditions come, befall him, he makes sabr and he is patient upon that. That is the situation of a mu'min, that everything is good for him. Whether it be good whether it be good conditions or unfavorable conditions, that is all khair for a believer. Because it is all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight. But what causes, as I've mentioned, the cause of all this, is our own actions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, khamsun bi khamsin. Five actions, there will be five reactions. When, on a personal level, on a collective level, when these actions will be found in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance to that, will send punishments and trials, tribulations accordingly. Firstly, when a person in his life, personally, and a community, when they begin to break promises, they do not keep to their word, what they have said, they do not keep to that. They break their promises. It's a breach of contract. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will empower their enemies over them. And obviously, when the enemies are empowered upon a person or upon a nation, what else will they do but oppress them? Be merciless towards them. How common is the breaking of promises, not keeping to what we have said? Whether it be with our own family members, whether it be with our partners, whether it be with our wives and children, in whichever way it be, the greatest promise that we always break is the promise that we have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where we have mentioned, Allah ta'ala mentioned, Alastu bi Rabbikum. We all said, Bala. Definitely, O Allah, you are our Rabb. You are our Creator. Whatever you tell us, that is our life, lifestyle. But we do not keep to that. Enemies will then be empowered upon these people. In the hadith is mentioned that the sign of a munafiq, a hypocrite, is three. When he speaks lies. When he's entrusted, he betrays a trust, that amanat. And when he makes a promise, he breaks that promise. That is a sign of a munafiq, a hypocrite. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned an incident thrice in Bukhari Sharif of where a person had fell into some problem, predicament, and he needed to take a loan from one of his friends. That friend asked him that, I am lending you these 1,000 dirhams. Who is the witness? And who is the guarantor? This person replied, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the witness, he is the guarantor. But I will make sure, inshallah, I will pay you at the time that you have allotted, that the time you have fixed, you will be paid back your money. When the time came to pay that person, he had to cross the river. This happened in the Bani Israel. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this hadith and has been narrated in Bukhari Sharif thrice. The time came to pay back that loan. This person, keeping in mind that he had made a promise to repay that person at that time, he made some effort, he went to the shores of the sea to cross over and pay that person the money. But the storm was so severe, he could not cross over. Nor were there any ships or anything through which he could cross the river. He found a log, he made a hole into that log, wrote a note, put that money in there, and he sent it on the river, on the sea, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, I tried my best to pay this person on time, but I cannot reach him. I have sent this, I am trying to keep to my word, I have made a promise, I do not want to break that. O Allah, make this reach that person. Just the mafhum of the hadith. That person waited on the other side. He saw this person not coming, but he just saw this log. He picked it up, thinking that when it dries, I will use it for firewood, as firewood, or for some other benefit. Took it home, and when he broke it, he struck his axe on it. He found inside those dirhams, with a note from his friend. So this person kept to his word. But even after that, when the storm subsided, he crossed the river and he took another 1,000 dirhams to pay that person, met him, and he told him that I could not make it on time. But dear, this is your 1,000 dirhams. That person mentioned that I had already received it in that log that you had sent to me. How much of amanat? How trustworthy were they? So when people will break their promises, Allah Ta'ala will empower the enemies over them. Secondly, when people will not, when a community will not live their lives and make decisions in accordance to Sharia, the laws of the Quran and Hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause faqr and ihtiyaj to come upon them, meaning that they will always be in need, destitute, they will have poverty, maybe not apparently, but in different forms. All the time they will be needing loans from non-Muslim sources, where they'll have to pay interest upon interest, take a second loan to pay the interest of the first loan. This is all because decisions are not being made in accordance to Sharia, in accordance to the laws of the Quran and Hadith. This we can look in our lives, whether it be in our nikahs, walimas, in our own businesses, in our own homes. When decisions are made, how are they made? The third thing that Rasulullah has mentioned, where there is an action from our side, a reaction from Allah Ta'ala's side, is where people will decrease in weight and measure. They will not give whatever is due to the person. In different ways, we can take it in our context in different ways today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send famine and poverty over those people. It will seem that they are saving. They're supposed to give the person so much, but they give him lesser. And that person does not know. They oppress that person. It may seem that he's got a lot. This person who is giving to that person, he has extra. But in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send poverty and famine. There will be no barakat and no blessings from Allah ta'ala's side in whatever that person has. Rather, what he has will be haram. Fourthly, when zina, adultery, fornication, shamelessness, immodesty becomes rife and in plentiness in a community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends sicknesses, diseases not heard of before, and there's no cure for that. How common this is today. Zina, Rasulullah has mentioned in the hadith, when a person commits adultery, fornication, his iman comes out of his body. يَدُورُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ. It hovers above his head. And fifthly, when zakat is not paid by a community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back from them the rains. His special rahmat, the rains, is held back from these people. So the cause of all this, of whatever calamities and problems we are facing internationally, nationally, personally, in our own lives, individually, is nothing but our own actions. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives us tawfiq and hidayat to realize this. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab will address us now.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. What you have just heard from Maulana Hashim Sahib are traits of a munafiq. The traits of a munafiq, that when he speaks lies. إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلاق, when he promises, he breaks promises. وإذا أؤتمن خان, and when he is entrusted, then he betrays the trust. Now these are the signs of a munafiq or a hypocrite. And when these traits embed themselves in the person's heart, when they become embedded in the heart, then after that you find all the other evils also surfacing. So those five actions which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stated, that if it is going to come into the ummah, then you must expect those reactions which you just heard. Now that is also because of a diseased heart. That when the heart is diseased, then you will get cheating in weight and measurement, then you will get breaking of promises, then you will get zina in the society, then you will get all other evils. So everything depends on the heart. When the physical heart is diseased, then the physical body is very weak, extremely weak. The eyes does not function properly. The movement of the hands, the feet, and everything else is affected because the physical heart is affected. But at the most, the death of the physical heart leads a person to the graveyard. But when the spiritual heart is diseased, then you can expect nothing but problems in that person's life, and he becomes a problem for the entire society. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam placed so much of emphasis on the purification of the heart. Elahi fazla farma dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, khudaya fazla farma dil badal de, gunahgari mein kab tak umr kaatun, badal de maula dil badal de. So we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a change of heart. Man has been successful in transplanting hearts. I mentioned in one majlis in detail, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave man that aqal and that intelligence that he can now transplant hearts. But when he is transplanting a heart, he should be taking lessons that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who gave him the ability to transplant the physical heart. So he should be asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for a transplant of a spiritual heart. Now some arteries are so badly damaged that no amount of medication helps. The arteries are clogged and they say medication will not help anymore. Either the person has a bypass or he has a transplant. So in the same way, when our spiritual arteries get clogged, our physical heart, when the arteries get clogged for various reasons, we are told that sometimes the stress is the cause of the cholesterol levels rising. The person is eating the right foods, everything, but the cholesterol is still rising and clogging his heart. They say sometimes it is stress, sometimes it is the wrong types of food, sometimes no exercise. They give us a chain of things that these things clog the heart, arteries. My dear respected brothers, that is exactly the situation with our spiritual arteries. They have become clogged. The type of sins that we indulge in, they have clogged our spiritual arteries. And we need nothing but bypasses or transplants. So we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to give us a transplant of a spiritually healthy heart. I mentioned all these things because you may be aware by now that inshallah this afternoon I will go for a bypass. So I'm asking you to make dua. And I mentioned to some friends yesterday that I'm going for a bypass. Maut and hayat is in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, I've got absolutely no fear of meeting my Allah. Because that Allah who has been so kareem, so raheem, so kind, so merciful, and he has blessed me with so much of ni'mats without my deserving, then why should I have this in mind that he is going to deal with me differently in the hereafter? We must have great hopes that we may be very, very sinful, but that Allah Ta'ala is Kareem, who gives without us being deserving. So I told them that I am going for this bypass, alhamdulillah, that is not my fear. But if I pass by, then please don't bypass my grave. Make dua-i maghfirat, but inshallah, if Allah wills, then within a few weeks' time, I could be addressing you here again. But if during my talks to you, if I said anything that had offended you or hurt your feelings, then I seek sincere forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, I've got great love for each and every one of you. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has to ask me, what did you bring? I will say, this is the congregation that I brought. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless you with the ni'mats of this world and the akhirat. And you should make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me speedy recovery. It is only Allah Ta'ala's ihsan and fazal that even in this condition I continued. I was not even aware of what the condition was with the pains we carried on. But of course our pain is absolutely nothing when we look at the pain of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallah, that is the pain that is getting these hearts. When they throw the bombs on the innocent women, children, old, feeble, weak, look at the terror, the fear on the faces of those children when you see in the newspapers. Ha! Where is that insaniyat gone? Where is that humanity gone? Where is that concern for human life gone? Those who talk about human rights, they have become nothing but animals. But all we can do is make dua for them too, that Allah Ta'ala give them hidayah. And Allah Ta'ala assist and help these mujahideen of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala protect Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, and all other Muslim states. Allah Ta'ala give hidayah to those Muslim rulers of Muslim states, that they should implement Islamic laws and justice. And if hidayat is not in their muqaddar because of their obstinacy, because of their hatred for the Muslim ummah, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is all-powerful, almighty. He is the best of all planners. Then we make dua from the deep recesses of our heart that, oh Allah, as I mentioned last week also, that's all we can do. Oh Allah, either give them hidayat, but if they are obstinate, then use your forces. Use the wind, use the storms. You send the Ababil and you destroy the army of Abraha. Oh Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Oh Allah, cause the plains to crash. Oh Allah, cause the plains to crash. Oh Allah, shake the ground beneath their feet. Oh my beloved Allah, use your hidden forces. Use your ghaibi taqat. Allah, assist and help the mujahideen. Ay mere pyare Allah, create division and disunity in their ranks. Cause their ships to sink. Cause their bombs to fall on their own heads. Oh my beloved Allah, make their graveyards in Iraq. Ay Allah, these people who have become so merciless, they are throwing cluster bombs and all kinds of bombs on Baghdad. That city, oh Allah, which had been but one time the seat of Khilafat. Oh Allah, that city, the name of which is on the lips of every child when they mention Junaid Baghdadi. Ay Allah, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani Rahmatullah Alayhi, Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an, so many sahabas, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, Ay Allah, so many great awliya. Ay Allah, that city is being bombed. Ay Allah, you assist and help the mujahideen. Ay Allah, ya to tu inko hidayat de, ya Aad aur Samud ki tarike se halak aur barbad farma. Ay Allah, bless the entire Muslim ummah with peace, with prosperity, with happiness. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with contentment, with satisfaction, with joy. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours. Stay happy with us under all conditions. And oh Allah, if the time of our departure has come, then take us away with Iman. Ya Allah, give us death in such a condition that, oh Allah, our soul comes dancing towards you and does not remain attached with the worldly things. Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Allah, puri ummat-e-muslimah ki nusrat farma, madad farma. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.